Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. A couple of quick notes from Saturday. I thought Jack Ham said it best, that the two kickers acted as if they were warming up on a Friday. Emmett Carpenter and Tyler Davis. Also, kudos to Herb Combs and the outstanding crew at Beaver Stadium. That field was in awesome shape. I mean, awesome shape Saturday. I don't think I saw anybody slip. I mean, amazing. So,
the unsung heroes for Penn State are the guys behind the scenes in many instances.
Well, they got it done there. They did a great job. All right, time now for our play-by-play calls of the day. One deals with the Steelers and Bill Hillgrove on their big night.
The stretch play, he's going to air it out. There's a man down there in the end zone. A leaping grab by Antonio Brown. Could you believe this? What a start for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
What a start for the Pittsburgh Steelers is right, and it just kept on going, people. It kept on going. Now, while the Steelers are rolling on and the great career of Bill Hillgrove rolls on, the curtain came down yesterday for the legendary Vin Scully.
Big pitch coming up. Romo out of his stretch. And the 2-2 pitch on the way. Sergio Deal slider hit in the air to left center. Coming over is Pagan. He puts it away. And the Giants are the wild card team. The city is going wild, appropriately enough. And they are heading for New York.
Yeah, where they'll send Madison Bumgarner to the mound tomorrow night, and the Mets season's going to be over. All right, so let's now get to it here. Okay, and hold on a second here. I've got a special guest in here. Hold on a second here. You won't be able to hear him, I don't think. Come here, bring him in here. You bring him in here. There he is. Hello, Ryan. He is only 1 month old. But my little grandson is in my arms right now. Ryan Michael Jones. Hello, fella. How are you today? Yes. And he's just staring, saying, I hope Mr. Buhner doesn't say anything. He will scare me. You know? But I had in my house for the first time ever this weekend all four grandchildren at once. So, needless to say, we took pictures yesterday because I wanted pictures to put up here until he comes back in December, right? You're going to come back in December? Huh? Do you realize where we have this studio now? It used to be your dad's room. So that's what it used to be. He's just looking at the microphone and saying, I hope Mr. Buhner says nothing. Yeah? Mwah, mwah. You beautiful little guy. All right, so the Phillies yesterday, final game for Ryan Howard is a member of the Phillies, so they had a great ceremony. It doesn't mean the final game of his career. Matt Leon joins us from Philadelphia. Matt, seems like they did everything right yesterday with that.
Oh, I agree. The Phillies are very good at that. They are very good at the ceremony. They are very good at having just the right touch on how much pomp and circumstance. And it was well-deserved. I think Phillies fans, and honestly, I think the organization has kind of been hoping that at least one of the members of that core group that brought them a World Series and won all the division titles and such, that they'd be able to have this moment. And everybody else is traded or signed somewhere else as a free agent, where there was never kind of that definite, this is going to be the end here. And even though I think Ryan's going to try it again to play somewhere else next year, it's not going to be here. They're going to buy him out. So they finally had that moment. And it was Ryan Howard who, interestingly, I think may be one of the most underappreciated members of that core group when you consider Chase Utley, Jimmy Rollins, Cole Hamels, guys like that. So I think it was well done and well deserved.
Before the Achilles, then before the knee injury, which came after that, how great a hitter was this guy?
He was the dominant power hitter, I think, of a good 4 or 5 year era was one of the few guys you stop what you're doing and you watch his at bat, whether it's up 10 runs, down 10 runs, tie game, first inning, ninth inning. He had, especially from about 06 to 09, he wasn't just a great power hitter. He was a very good hitter. He was able to go the other way, not just for power, but he was a much more complete hitter than he really became kind of a caricature at the end of just the all or nothing home run hitter who, was a relatively easy out. He was dominant. And Philly fans, I think, took some of those numbers for granted. I mean, like going 48-130, that's not easy. You know, that doesn't happen. And you kind of got used to it after how incredible he was. And, I mean, the 58 home runs, the MVP year, and it was interesting. I was looking on a website that compiled video of some of his greatest home runs, not just for when they happened, but how they happened and such. And you forget how many big home runs he came up with over the years. He was in the middle of so much when that team was really good.
Did he hint at anything as to what he wants to do with his future? Is the American League a possibility? I mean, what kind of hints did he give?
I think he basically just said there's more in the tank. He thinks there's still more there. I think he'll try. You know what? The last 2 months, he's right. A lot of the struggles the last few years, and this is going to sound odd, in my opinion, Brian Howard stopped being a 162-game player about 3 years ago.
Right.
Injury, decline, whatever, put it all together. But the Phillies, and I think partially because the previous regime was so hard-headed and because they were paying a lot of money, they kept running him out there every day, regardless of the matchup, and he would look really bad against a lot of lefties and even some really good right-handers. And what you saw the last 2-3 months here was the Phillies picked their spots with him, and they put him in situations where he could succeed, and guess what? He succeeded. He was a threat the last 2 months. He wasn't just, oh, it's a nice story, he's hit some home runs. You started to see teams approach the lineup differently because Ryan Howard was in the middle, or Ryan Howard was coming up. You saw them pitch differently to other guys, and that was something you hadn't really seen with Ryan Howard for the most part the last couple of years. So I think if he finds the right situation, he can still help someone. And I wouldn't have said that 4 or 5 months ago. I thought he was on fumes. I thought it was over. I thought it was depressing to watch. To his credit, to everyone's credit, the last two and a half months, and it wasn't really a hot streak. It wasn't just he found lightning in a bottle. You could just see the approach. You could see the hand quickness was back. But it was also, you basically got the same production out of him in about half the at-bats, because they put him in situations where he can still succeed. I think if an American League team, likely be an American League team, even though his defense isn't terrible, he just doesn't have the range, and you'd hate to see, you know, he probably can't take the pounding. So if someone signs him as a left-handed DH, I think there is some hay to be made there. But that was basically the only hint you got, was that he said that he still thinks there's gas in the tank, and it'll be interesting to see who takes a chance.
With a lot of young players on the team, the stories are going around that Ryan Howard was the pro's pro, helping all of them. What does that tell you about him as a professional?
It tells you what I think anyone that's paid attention would know, that he is just a good guy. He is a stand-up guy. He's always been up front. Really, when you look at his time in Philadelphia, his great sin was signing a contract that any human being on earth would sign when it was offered to him, and then creating committing the crime of getting hurt. That's it. I mean, people want to rip the extension, and it was an extension the Phillies came to him with, and then you combine that with he blows out the Achilles, and then he tries to come back too fast from the Achilles, I think, to justify the contract, hurts the knee and everything. Nothing happens in a vacuum. So I think when you put all that together, that's what you get. But Ryan Howard was a pro's pro. Even earlier this year, when they finally kind of formally, informally announced that Tommy Joseph was going to get a lot more first base, get more at bat, you know, they talked to Tommy Joseph, and he says, Ryan Howard came over to me, congratulated me, and told me what to expect tonight when we face Max Scherzer. That's just who Ryan Howard is.
What's the attitude about the organization moving forward?
I think there's excitement. I think the last month wasn't a lot of fun. I mean, the games, you know, from a standing standpoint, weren't real that important, but they threw a lot of games away. They finished 71-91. There's probably been 6-7 games that they just threw away. And another 6-7, they just weren't competitive, you know, where they lost games like 17-0, 12-1. A little disturbing, I think, was probably a combination. Well, number one was a combination of Genmar Gomez, who had been great all year, just absolutely ran out of gas or something the last 3 or 4 weeks because he was just awful. Some young players hitting the wall. They played some teams that were in desperation mode. But, you know, they probably cost themselves what would have been a much better record. Or no, I shouldn't say much better, but a more attractive record. And, you know, as it was, they still won 8 more games than last year. They found out some things about some young kids. There's more young talent on the way. And 2017 should be a fun year. I don't know if we had talked, when we talked in the middle of the summer, I probably would have said that I thought they could play footsie with a wild card next year. I probably would come back from that based on what we saw the second half. But I think they'll once again be an improved team, and the arrow's pointing up.
Very quickly, give us an update on Ben Simmons. I mean, is this something that with surgery he's going to be out a couple months? What's the deal with him?
It sounds like about 3 months. You're starting to hear some murmurs that they might hold him out more. This is an organization that has erred on the side of caution with these young guys. It's just incredibly depressing because just as everyone was getting excited to see Joel Embiid and getting ready to come out of training camp, and you've already had some people kind of half jokingly saying, well, it looks like they got out of training camp okay. And then, you know, you hear, ah, you rolled an ankle, and you're like, ah, well, it's no big deal. And then the worst-case scenario on Friday. I think I would be surprised if we see him before the new year. They will take it slow. They should be better this year, but they're not going to be in contention. So they want to make sure he gets healthy. But it doesn't, you know, given my vast medical experience, this doesn't sound like it is as long-term a concern as what Joel Embiid dealt with when it came to the foot.
And again, you do not play a doctor on the radio.
I do not. I have played the child's game operation once or twice, though.
Did you win?
No more questions.
It's always a pleasure.
Thank you so much, sir.
Matt Leon, KYW Philadelphia. Bob and I will be back in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Direct from the Bob Buehner CD. Hope you're enjoying it.
Steve, we did not know. Chad and I are sitting here. We did not realize it's Take Your Grandson to Work Day on the Steve Jones Show.
It always is. He's 1 month old. They came down from New York this weekend, so it's the first time they've been here. They're going back now. In fact, they were just leaving now to go back up to Rochester. And so it's only the second time I've been around him. I mean, you know, I've been around him since Friday, but I went up there. We went up there and saw him right after he was born. Now a month later, and you know how quickly they grow. My goodness, and it's amazing. And then they'll be. And I looked at him. I said, "You'll be back in 68 days." It's not like the grandfather's not counting. The grandfather is counting.
And is it true or is just a rumor that he signed to do play-by-play for the Buffalo Sabres?
He's in. Pagula already told me.
Exactly.
He's my guy. I'm like, go for it. Now he's going to have to wait a few years, but what the heck?
He can sit at your knees and learn from the master.
It's one of those great thrills in life where you know, it's like, so he said, how many do you have? I said, the more the merrier.
I'm guessing, Steve, he is the youngest person ever on your show.
He is the youngest person ever on my show.
And I said to Bob, I said, gee, I'm making my debut today on the Steve Jones Show, and I get upstaged by a one-month-old. I tell you.
It could have been worse. It could have been an animal act. You don't know.
No, that's true.
Steve, my favorite Vince Scully story involves the legendary Bob Prince, who is the Hall of Famer announcer, was for the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Right.
And he was offered a job in San Diego to broadcast the San Diego Padres baseball games. And he, within about 10 seconds, he turned the job down with the explanation that in San Diego, he had Mexico to the south, the Pacific Ocean to the west, the Rocky Mountains to the east, and Vince Scully to the north. He was
yes, you are bottled in at that moment.
Yes, there's nowhere to go.
I told my favorite one last week, but I'll tell it again this week. And it dealt with a big-time political commentator. You know, you and I have run into them.
Yes, okay? We have.
Yes. Big-time political, unnamed political commentator, had talked to the Dodgers, guys on TV all the time, I guess, and said, look, I want to meet Vince Scully. So they bring him up to meet Vince Scully. And he says, let me tell you why I'm here. I'm here because I always want to meet the number one person in their business. And you want to know why I want to meet the number one person in their business? Because I'm the number one person in my business. You know, I'm number one. And he's going on about how great he is at this and great at how he's first in ratings and first in this and first in that. I mean, he's basically just reciting his resume for everybody. And Vince Scully is very politely standing there and listening to this gibberish. And finally, when he takes a breath in his resume, Vin jumps in. He says, well, it's really great to meet you. It's great to have you here. I want you to meet Antonio over here. He's the number one cameraman. In fact, today he's running camera number one. I want you to meet Molly over here. Molly's the number one floor manager. I'd like you to meet Molly. I want you to meet Bobby over here. Bobby's the number one statistician, right? I'd like you to meet. And he went through a list of like 8, 9, 10 people that were in the booth at the time and told this pompous whatever that each person that he worked with, he considered to be the number one person in their field working on the telecast with him. Well, after a while of this, how many they went through, the gentleman had to excuse himself and leave. Because basically he'd been embarrassed and had had enough. But that's really important. And it is, that showed me a lot about Vince Scully. That in terms of the loyalty to the people you work with, the loyalty to the people you work with is something that cannot be understated. And obviously he understood that. And when somebody came in to pump up Vin Scully wanted to make sure that everybody that he worked with understood how, that he thought higher of them than he did of him.
Oh, just so that's a classic.
Yeah, I mean, that's to me, there's no room for ego in these things. There really isn't. I've mentioned many times about working with Jack Ham and working with Dick Girardi. Jack, of course, you want to name the Hall of Fame. He's in it. Pro college, Johnstown, whatever. Okay. I think he's in like 11 of them. All right. 4 Super Bowl rings, the whole deal. Dick Girardi is not only one of the top basketball writers in the country, one of the top horse racing writers in the country, but he's also in the United States Basketball Writers Association Hall of Fame. He's in the Palestra Hall of Fame. And what Dick Girardi and Jack Ham both have in common is each one, you know, besides brilliance, is that each one has absolutely zero ego whatsoever. None. They are down-to-earth, regular guys that you would never know accomplished anything unless you really dragged it out of them. And to me, that's part of what's great working with them is not only how skilled they are as professionals, but also the fact that they are just really down-to-earth people that you really have to drag out whatever accomplishment they had in life out of them to talk if you wanted to talk to them about it.
I was listening to you and Jack on Saturday driving back from Western Pennsylvania watching a football game in person at my alma mater, and so I got a chance to listen to the whole broadcast. Jack Ham was thoroughly excited through the whole fourth quarter. You know, he just was really so into that game.
He was. I mean, and he just picked up on so many things along the way that the average analyst doesn't pick up on. He was just tremendous. He makes my job so much easier. I mean, literally, I just have to make sure I don't mess up.
Yeah, he's obviously just fabulous to have sitting right next to you.
Oh, yeah. Between he and Dick Girardi, oh my goodness. There's nobody in my position that has any better in the country. I mean, I really am lucky. Final half hour, we'll take your calls at 1-800-795-9565. Love to hear from you and get your questions and comments. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy has served this valley for decades. They get you the best insurance at the best price. And not only that, but when there's a claim, oh, man, they go to work right away. Right away. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Our sports bozo of the day. He wins again, ladies and gentlemen. Cowboys wide receiver Dez Bryant. He has tendered a strong denial to the notion his seven-year career has been marked by a pattern of irresponsible behavior, highlighted by 20-plus later missed meetings. While Bryant has consistently been an offensive focal point for America's team, he said Sunday that, quote, he must be America's most hated man. Honestly, you give yourself too much credit, my man. Believe me, there are a lot of people in the world that are far more disliked than you are. Now, in terms of respecting him.
Yep. How about least respected member of the Dallas Cowboys?
I mean, again, when you're missing MRI appointments and you're late by 20-plus times to meetings, I'm sorry, you can't do that.
Steve,
I mean, you can't do that. It's not being a professional.
Does he get paid money to be a professional football player? Because you would think if he was, he'd show up.
Yeah, you'd think so.
Steve, in the legal department, something I know a little bit about, the word came down today that the United States Supreme Court.
I've heard of them.
Yeah. The used to be nine black-robed wonders in Washington, D.C., now eight, declined to take a very important case that affects the NCAA and student-athletes everywhere. And that is a case that was appealed to them whereby the NCAA was found to have acted unconstitutionally in the area of player compensation. As you, right. We talked about that, I think, at least a year ago, that there was a decision, I think, out in the West Coast that declared some NCAA regulations about student-athlete compensation as unconstitutional. The appeals court heard it, decided that it was unconstitutional as well. The NCAA appealed that to the Supreme Court, and today, before they start their session tomorrow, they declined to hear the case.
Right.
So that ruling will stand.
Right. They politely said no thank you.
Yep.
And this is after the San Francisco-based Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, which is always a key place for several people to go, the Ninth Circuit Court.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that has a reputation.
Just a little wacky out there on the legal procedures.
Now, this I think has to do with the O'Bannon case.
It does.
Okay, that's what this is, and it would make sense that it would go to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals because this case I think was in California. Now, this started with the NCAA banning compensating athletes to use their likeness, such as names, images, in video games, TV broadcasts, and so forth. So the NCAA appealed the decision to the next highest court, which happened to be, the Supreme Court. and they've declined to hear the case. And that is it's a blow to them. Now, O'Bannon is the one that brought this because he saw his likeness on video games.
That's right.
Now, but he didn't bring the case until after he got out of being a professional athlete. And in the case, the plaintiffs objected to the appeals court throwing out an injunction that would have given athletes up to about $5,000 in deferred compensation per year after they leave college. You're looking at this sounds to me like they're going to have to compensate some former athletes for use of their likeness.
I think there's going to be a lot of them, actually.
And, yeah.
As I recall, the NCAA was getting money from the game makers for the use of these likenesses.
They were. And that's what always bothered me about this. What bothered me was when I know Kevin loves the game.
Oh, yeah.
And he's all upset. Well, guess what? I remember the only time I ever saw anything dealing with the game, it was a commercial for it from EA Sports, and it was Ohio State. And I'll tell you right now, the guy handing the ball off to Carlos Hyde looked exactly like Braxton Miller, and the guy getting the ball looked exactly like Carlos Hyde. It didn't make any secret as to who it was.
And even though they put a disclaimer probably that says these do not represent actual human beings, we all know better.
Right. And, this is now, obviously, pro athletes go on to make a lot of money. You and I both know 97% to 98% don't play at any level. In fact, these are the approximate numbers I quoted in a speech I made to the Pennsylvania Petroleum Association in a speech I made Wednesday night to them about this. Now, there's another case against paying the athletes outside of the making millions as pros. It's the opportunity for the travel that they are given. And that's another case. For example, you could go to the Bahamas and play in the Battle for Atlantis.
Right.
Eight teams get to do that. The NCAA did not begin to address the situation on how to define what an amateur actually is until these cases came up. Now, since August 1st, a year ago, the NCAA has allowed schools to fund the full cost of attendance. Now, it says here for top athletes, and that's not true. It's for any scholarship athlete. The way this is worded is from a person who doesn't know what they're talking about. Every scholarship athlete gets cost of attendance. Now, a full scholarship leads to full cost of attendance. A partial scholarship leads to partial cost of attendance. But anybody on a scholarship is now getting some money. Another key is that even walk-ons now, in a completely separate case, walk-ons are now getting their meals or get to go to the nutrition bar like a student, like a scholarship athlete, 24/7. And that's important. And I thought that was a significant positive change, because if they're going to give you a locker and they're going to tell you to show up for the workouts at 6 a.m. like everybody else, there are certain things that you should get nutrition-wise, because that's actually part of your training. It's not a gift.
Certainly not. And heaven forbid they would miss one of those training sessions, because then there would be consequences, walk on or not. So it only seems absolutely sensible to have the university pay for the athlete's nutrition.
Yeah, so in this vote today, SCOTUS basically said, no.
Yeah.
No.
Thank you very much, but no.
Good luck.
So the lower court decision from the Ninth Circuit will stand. That will become, yep, in essence, the law of the land as it relates to that case. And then the NCAA and the parties are going to have to deal with it.
Well, but the NCAA has more avenues to revenue right now, because the NCAA tournament basketball money is greater than ever, because CBS could not handle themselves the bid to get the tournament. So that's when they went into the partnership with TBS, and why the Final Four was on TBS last year, and it's going to alternate. Well, they did that because they knew the combined entities would give them the money to win the bid and keep the tournament. Thus, the NCAA is getting more than ever. The college football playoff is providing also more money than ever to member schools. So compensating athletes, I think cost of attendance is great. I have no problem with that. The nutrition bars are great. Absolutely no problem with that. But I don't want anybody to ever forget that just because you don't have a check handed to you, where you then take the money and pay it yourself, having your education paid for and walking out of a university or a college debt-free is a huge plus in life.
Oh, it's in six figures, Steve. Let's just start right with that.
Oh, here you're talking 5 years. It's more than $250,000.
Yeah.
All of you out there paying your student loans, do you think that do you feel like they received compensation to go play football or basketball or something at Penn State as you pay off your monthly payment to a student loan, which they don't have to make?
Exactly. And I think that was the sensible solution that the judges who heard this case from the district court to the appellate court all the way to the Supreme Court looked at that probably, and the numbers involved. A billion here, a billion there, it's real money. And why shouldn't the athletes have some manner of compensation for the use of their likeness?
Well, I mean, the likeness thing bothers me in this way, right? The NCAA was getting all the profit from that. Well, I'm sorry, you're not going to get the profit off of this unless that player on there looks a little bit like Matt McGloin. Or the player on there looks a little bit like Larry Johnson, or looks a little bit like Braxton Miller, looks a little bit like Carlos Hyde. I mean, I'm sorry, you can't do things where, well, we kind of got into a gray area. We kind of skirted the line. Don't skirt the line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the reason those games sold is because they did use those likenesses. Let's face it.
Of course they did. Absolutely. I mean, when you play the NFL game, I mean, do you want Antonio Brown to be your guy?
Yeah.
To look and play like Antonio Brown?
I want Antonio Brown.
All right. Well, when you're out there playing these EA Sports games, for example, let's take the 2008 Penn State football team. I mean, do you want that quarterback that's number 17 out there to play like Darrell Clark? Of course you do. Do you want the linebacker who's wearing number 11 to be Navarro Bowman? Of course you do. Although Bowman, I think, in 2008 may have worn 18, but still.
Yeah. He had a number.
Yeah. Yeah. And you want him to look like him and play like him. And I think that's a big deal in this. And this is where when they came out with that game, I remember thinking that they were headed down a bad road. I really did. I thought, this is a bad road, because you keep saying that, oh, no. It's just a game. Well, how come you're making all the profit and the guys that look like the guys, okay, are getting nothing for this? Now, admittedly, The players used to sit there and go, hey, cool, I'm in the video game, right?
Yeah,
none
sure
of them
did.
Thought about money. None of them thought about money. They looked at it and went, hey, look, and they'd play the game as themselves. Look at me.
Yep. And then they got
I'm in the game.
And then somebody told them, the players, how much money the NCAA and EA Sports and those places were profiting from the likenesses. And somewhere, someplace, in some dormitory, some kid put his hand up in the air and said, hey, wait a minute. That's me.
Right.
They're making this money. Whoa.
Ed O'Bannon is the one that got, but you know, so Bannon did not sue until after he got, long after he got out of school. I mean, long after. I mean, O'Bannon's last year in college was 1995, I think.
Yeah.
95 or 96. I think it was 96 because when Penn State played in the Carrier Dome against UCLA in 91 and beat UCLA in the first round of the NCAA tournament, O'Bannon was on the team, but he was redshirting because he had injured his knee and he sat on the bench. Because I remember seeing him there. I mentioned in the broadcast he was there as one of their highly touted guys that couldn't play. So then he played four full years after that, was drafted by the New Jersey Nets and played in the NBA for a while. And it wasn't until he started selling cars
in Las Vegas,
finally, this whole thing came up, because I mean, he was on the cover of the basketball game, and after that, things then kicked into another gear.
Well, that's our legal update for Monday.
Well done, Bob.
Oh, thank you, Steve.
Well done. We'll come back. And we'll wrap it up with Judge Judy in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Insuring your business is serious stuff. You don't need gimmicks or cutesy mascots or punchlines. You certainly don't want red tape. You just want the right coverage at the right price. We're as serious about insuring your business as you are about running it. Selective. Response is everything.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
We feel very strongly that Bob's trying to get his own show.
TV show.
I've got a face for radio, Steve.
When it comes time, if you could just thank us for giving you the opportunity, we'd appreciate it. Just a casual, you know, by the way, those guys.
Hey, by the way, we've got Chad Hirschberger sitting here in the command module for Sean this week, doing a great job lining everything up.
Thank you.
Chad's getting it done.
He is.
You better watch. Now, Chad, you got to tell him the story about your wife the other day.
Oh,
you got to tell him that.
Well, on Friday, I was sitting, going to pick up my daughter from school, and my wife had texted me and asked me if I was picking her up, because usually my wife picks her up, but I said I'd get her on Friday. And instead of typing yes in the phone, I used the little voice thing, so I just said yes. The problem was I had the Steve Jones Show in the background, and Steve says, that's what I do. And so it texted my wife, yes, that's what I do. And so I had to call her and explain that half of the text was me and half the text was Steve.
That's great how you could get Steve to send messages to your wife.
Exactly. Yeah.
She doesn't like me.
That's what I do. Hey,
that's
Steve.
What I do. I can't remember what I was talking about. You know?
You were talking about your grandson, I believe.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Yes. That, when it comes to them, everything stops because that's what I do. Exactly.
Steve, did you get a chance to watch any Ryder Cup at all?
I watched actually more of that than I did football this weekend.
Because the Ryder Cup is the one golf event I actually watch. Other than caddy for you at the Purdy Golf Tournament, I've never hit a golf ball sober in my life. And there was that unfortunate incident in law school the last night before I graduated involving a bag of balls, a golf club, and the top of Trickett Hall in Carlisle at the Dickinson School of Law, which I've managed to get erased from my record. But that Ryder Cup, I actually got caught up into it. And again, I'm not a golf guy.
It was a great theater and emotion, especially the way Patrick Reed played Rory McIlroy yesterday. Now, the Americans can expect this similar treatment when they go back over the pond in 2018 to play this again. And then it gets back here to Whistling Straits in 2020. Let's see. Where's the 2018 Ryder Cup? 2018 Ryder Cup is going to be at Le Golf National in France.
Oh, wow,
we're loved in France.
I smell remote broadcast.
We're loved in France.
Oh.
No, we're not doing any remote broadcast in France, I can tell you that.
No. You have to put up with the French, first of all, and that's just, they are insufferable when it comes to things like this.
Has nothing to do with that. It has the fact that they've got some serious security problems there.
Oh, just a few minor incidents, but
and
yeah, not good. But I thought
this will be this is only the second time they've ever held it in France, and they beat out Germany, Holland, Portugal, Spain. Sweden withdrew from the race because they were determined not to put it in England or Ireland. See, I'd like to see it go to Ireland.
You've already been to Ireland once a few years ago and played some golf, so you probably could go over and do some commentary.
It is gorgeous. Ireland is unbelievably beautiful, and the golf courses there are incredible. So,
but it seemed like yesterday, at least, it was a combination of golf and World Wrestling Federation. You know, I mean, it was just really kind of mano a mano out there.
Well, I think what's interesting about it is that crowd wise, that was Happy Gilmore golf. Come on, let's go. It was great. I enjoyed it. Now, when they go to France in 2 years, it will not be a friendly crowd.
No, there will be the what goes round, come round version of golf.
But guess what? You hit the ball, they don't.
Yep.
It's not like they can run out and intercept it on the way to the hole. Today's show brought to you by our great friends Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. You can't ask for a better agency than that. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Talk to you tomorrow, Bob.